and how they are reflections of the nature of God. And that as this fruit becomes more manifest in our lives, we're becoming more like Jesus and more like the sort of people he's called us to be. We've been thinking too about what it looks like to live as part of a community of loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled people. And this morning we're thinking particularly about faithfulness. And what's interesting to me, at least, and as we'll see, faithfulness is about truth and stability and reliability and being trustworthy. But the Bible doesn't talk about having faith in what a person says or what a person does. It's not like, I trust that what you're saying to me is true. It's about having faith or trust in that person. I trust you to be true. And so maybe this is a fine nuance, but we do not have faith in God's promises. We have faith in a God who is faithful and keeps his promises. So anyway, this morning I thought that rather than just preach one message, because you get that every week, I'd do four. Hope you're comfy. I'm going to preach from Psalm 95 about a faithful God, and from Proverbs 3 about having faith in God, and then we're going to sing and we're going to have some prayers before we come back, and I talk about Luke 16 and the call for us to be faithful in the same way that God is faithful, and finally Hebrews 10 about the nature of a faithful community. They'll be brief. But before we do any of that, just to keep us in our seats even longer, we are going to watch a video about faithfulness from the Bible Project. Thank you, Tony.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at this last characteristic of God. It's the Hebrew word emet, which can be translated as faithfulness or even truth. It's related to another word you've probably heard before, amen, which is an untranslated Hebrew expression meaning that's truth. So emet can mean truth, and it can refer to correct ideas or concepts. This is because emet has to do with stability and reliability, like when Moses holds up his hands for hours to defeat Israel's enemies, the Amalekites. His friends put a rock under him and support his hands so that his hands will remain emet, or steady. When emet is used of people, it describes reliable and stable character, or trustworthiness. Like when Moses appoints leaders in Israel, they're to be people of emet, people who are trustworthy, who won't take bribes or distort justice. So to say that God is full of emet doesn't just mean that God tells the truth or stands for truth. It means that God is faithful and trustworthy. This is why Moses calls God a rock, saying that he's faithful, just, and upright. He's saying that he can trust God to be consistent to his character. And the Hebrew word for trust is actually the verb form of the word emet. It's he'emin. It can be translated as to believe or to have faith, but most basically it means to consider someone trustworthy or to trust. The first person we meet in the Bible who considers God to be trustworthy is Abraham. God makes a promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah will have a huge family, and that through them, all nations will experience God's blessing. But Abraham and Sarah are really, really old, and they've never been able to have any children. And yet, in the face of these challenges, Abraham he'emins God. He considers God trustworthy to open a way forward. And God does show emet to Abraham and Sarah. In just four generations, their descendants form a whole nation called Israel. And God invites Israel into a trusting and faithful relationship. And when God leads them out of slavery in Egypt, Israel he'emins in God. They trust and rely on him. But when they come to the land God promised to Abraham, and they find out it's filled with giant cities protected by giants, their trust in God's emet fails. But eventually, we meet an Israelite who does trust God in the face of giants. It's David. He yells at the giant, "You come with a sword and a spear, but I come with the name of the God of Israel." David consistently relies on God. In fact, it said that David walked in emet before God. So David considers God to be faithful and responds with faithfulness. This is why God promises to raise up a faithful descendant of David, whose kingdom will endure forever, or in Hebrew, have emet. This faithful king will become the source of trust and stability for others forever. But when the kingdom later collapses, the Israelites find themselves without a home and without a king. And they cry out, "Oh God, where is your loyal love that you swore to David in your emet?" They're accusing God of abandoning his promises to Abraham and to David. Is God trustworthy? Is he faithful after all? The first line of the New Testament is an answer to that question. This is the lineage of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, through Jesus, God fulfills his promises. Or as Paul says, Jesus came on behalf of God's faithfulness. He is the faithful king whose kingdom will endure forever and who invites all nations to trust God. Now, trusting anyone is risky. It's hard to know if anyone is really full of emet. But the biblical story portrays a God who's been faithful all along and whose promises were fulfilled in the story of Jesus. And so as we look out at the obstacles facing us and our world, we're invited to take that same risk and join Abraham, David, and the people of God in trusting that God is overflowing with faithfulness.
Thank you. And if we can grab the PowerPoint back, that would be great. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Our God is faithful. As the video showed, that means he is steadfast and reliable and true and trustworthy. Have you ever noticed how often when God appears in the Bible, he starts off by announcing himself and reminding people of who he is? I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Or how often the psalmists will start by recounting, it seems like, the whole history of Israel before they get into what it is they want to say to the Lord. It is because time and again they are reminding themselves of God's faithfulness. This is the God of our forefathers. This is the God who freed us from slavery in Egypt. This is a God who is faithful and in whom we can trust. Our God is faithful to his word and his promises. Where human beings and institutions will let us down, God remains steadfast. Where others deceive and lie, God remains true. Where others do what is right for them, our God is working for your good. And our faithful God, our trustworthy God, has adopted you to be part of his family. He delights in you and has included you. Our God, who will always be there for us, walking with us in the darkest valley, seeking to guide us to places of rest and refreshment and restoring our souls. This God can be depended upon when all else fails. I think all of us have at one time or another an experience of being let down by human beings. Sometimes even human beings who were supposed to represent God to us, right? Maybe even churches who have failed to be faithful. But in all this, God remains steadfast and the same. And what's most remarkable, I think, about God's faithfulness is that 2 Timothy 2 tells us that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Our relationship with God, right, is built upon a covenant. And the shortest form of the covenant is, I will be your God and you will be my people, right? I will be your faithful God and do all the things that God is supposed to do, and you will be my faithful people and do all the things that my people should do. Here's a long list of them. I've written 10 of them on these lovely stone tablets for you. Crack on. He keeps his covenant promise to be our God, and we keep our covenant promise to live as his people in obedience to him. And the normal, the expected thing to happen when we fail on our side of that covenant, of that commitment, when we are faithless, the normal thing would be for God to wash his hands of us. It is now broken, the covenant. It is done. I'm out. I'll start again with a platypus or something. I don't know. But yet this is not what our God does. Even when we walk away, still in the story of Israel, after rebellion and exile, God reaches out by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Even when we fail, still like the father in the parable, God waits with open arms ready to come and embrace us when we return home. The story of Abraham that the video used as an example, Abraham and Sarah they weren't always the most faithful of people, were they, to God's promises? They didn't just trust and believe all the time, and yet God continued to work with them and alongside them. He continued to be faithful despite their faithlessness. The Bible tells us that in his faithfulness, God strengthens us and protects us from evil. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Enables us to withstand temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Forgives us of our sins, 1 John 1:9. And unites us with Jesus, granting us life, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Our God is faithful. Our God is always turned towards us, always reaching out to us, always dependable and reliable and true, even when we are not, even when we turn from him, even when it feels like he is far from us. The Creator of all things loves you today and will love you tomorrow and will go on loving you and wanting what is best for you, seeking to partner with you in this world, delighting in your presence from now into eternity. The testimony of God's people in Scripture and in all the years since is that the love of God never fails, that he is a rock that is always there. And if you only listen to one of my four sermons today, that's the one to take away with you. Proverbs 3 says this: My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. If our God is faithful and true and dependable, a rock solid and stable, then we can and should have faith in him. We should trust in the Lord with all our hearts. The Bible is full of examples of people who had faith in God, sometimes in really difficult circumstances. If you want a long list, you could just read Hebrews 11, which has all sorts of people that trusted in God in different ways, that had faith in him. You have Rahab, who trusted in the God of her enemy. She sat in a fortified city with unbreakable walls and yet trusted that the God of Israel would conquer. You have Gideon, the least important man in the land, leading a tiny army against a huge enemy. You have Jesus praying in the garden for things to be different and yet ultimately saying to God, "Not my will, but yours." In the end, faith is about action, right? It's not just about believing in something. It's not just about knowing something. Faith is not an intellectual exercise. Faith is taking what you know and acting upon it. It's Rahab hiding the spies. It's Gideon sending most of his men home. It's Jesus allowing himself to be arrested. Faith in God is trusting that his way is best and then living that way. It is setting aside my wisdom to live by his commands. It is not taking the fruit, even though it looks good to eat. It shapes everything I do. It is building my life upon him, my rock and my fortress, because I know that he is faithful and this is a good place to build. Maybe one of the best examples in scripture of this is Daniel. Daniel was a man who prayed to God 3 times a day. And some people didn't like Daniel very much, and so they convinced the king to make a law that people were only allowed for a month to pray to him, the king. Anyone caught praying to another person or God would be thrown to the lions. So what did Daniel do? Well, Daniel did exactly the same thing that he had always done. He continued to pray 3 times a day to Yahweh, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And you probably know the end of the story. Daniel gets thrown to the lions who refuse to eat him. And instead, at the end, the king has all the people who set the whole thing up given to the lions. And the lions seem not to be so picky when those others are thrown into their den. And it's a great story. Daniel has faith and he is therefore faithful. Daniel trusts in God to the point where it shapes his actions. He doesn't stop praying when it gets hard or inconvenient or dangerous. It is his faith and not his fear that dictates the way he behaves. Daniel's prayers, his relationship with God, is not just for the good times. But note also, Daniel didn't just start praying when it got tough either. His relationship with God doesn't just come out of the woodwork in times of crisis. Daniel's faith is consistent. Daniel's faith in God enables him to be faithful to God. Faith and faithfulness, 2 sides of the same coin. It is easier to be faithful, to be reliable, to be stable and truthful when the other person in that relationship is also all of those things. God's faithfulness to us enables us to be faithful to him. And a person who builds their life upon the rock of a faithful God is able to be loyal and truthful and trustworthy, unshaken by circumstances, consistent in obedience, because the ground underneath is not always moving. I think that we have an identity crisis happening in our world. Questions like, who am I? Or who do you want to be are pretty common. And I'm not saying those questions are necessarily bad, but in the olden days, I think it was easier because who you were was the child of your parents or the job that you did, and everyone in the village that you lived in all knew who your parents were and the job that you did, and yet that was who you are. But it doesn't work like that anymore. And so now people seek a different foundation, different ways of identifying themselves. They might throw their whole identity into the sort of music they like or the football team they support. Many people will shape their identity around their relationships, parents, children, partners. Some struggle to find any root for what they think about themselves. But wherever we place our identity in those things, the big problems come when we find out that those things will let us down, that they are not faithful, that they are shifting. When people hurt us, when football teams go into administration, when the band we love breaks up, what do I do now? Who am I without those things? Having faith in a faithful God means having a rock upon which to build ourselves, to shape our identity. Not as we see ourselves or as others would have us be, but rather we are built and shaped around who we are in Jesus. Beloved children, precious, delightful to our Father, called to love and to be loved. And because God is faithful, our identity in him is secure. We're going to continue to think about what it means to have faith in a faithful God. Before we do that, we're going to have a break for a moment while Lynn comes and leads us in prayer, and then we're going to sing together, and then I'll do the next two sermons for the morning. But Lynn's going to come and pray now.
This morning we're going to pray for our mission to those who come into this building and our mission to each other. So let's pray together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Heavenly Father, we gather together today with grateful hearts to worship and glorify your holy name. You alone are worthy of all the honour, praise, and thanksgiving. We thank you for your love, mercy, and faithfulness. Thank you for the gift of life and the many blessings you have poured out upon us. Thank you for placing us in this church family. Bless us, Lord, in the various groups and church we serve in. Help our groups to work in unity and with servant hearts. Let our words and actions towards everyone who comes into this building demonstrate the love of Christ. We lift before you our groups that welcome others into the building. Care and Toddlers. We thank you for Marion, for her faithfulness in caring for and sharing the good news of Jesus with the children, parents, and carers. Thank you for the commitment and kindness shown by her team. We pray that you will continue to bless them in all they do. Thank you for Take 5 and Chat and the parent courses that take place here. We pray for your blessing on Elizabeth and the team, and we thank them for the years of service and unconditional love they show to families that come along. We lift up the warm welcome team and pray that you bless them and equip them as they minister to the lonely and those in need. Thank you for Anne and her commitment and love towards the chair-based exercise group and the parish nursing team. Bless her and her team as they seek to serve and care for those who come along. Thank you that we're able to have the parish nurses who work quietly in the background each week, bringing their medical and spiritual skills to those they visit. We bring the Family Fun Days, Christmas Unwrapped, and the children and youth activities that bring families into our building who would not normally come in. Thank you for each of the people who are involved in these groups and the way they reflect Jesus. Bless the work of their hands, we pray. We remember the outside groups that use our building, the Rainbow Group, the Pantomime Group, and the Line Dancing. We pray for those in the church family who come in contact with these groups. We ask that you would open doors for meaningful conversations and that they may show Jesus through their words and actions. As we go out to serve our communities, give us willing hands, guide our steps, and direct our efforts. Help us to see people through your eyes and respond to their needs with kindness. In our mission to care for each other, we pray our relationships would reflect your grace and bring glory to your name. You came not to be served, but to serve, so shape us after your example. Teach us how to serve one another with joy and to seek the good of each other. Make us one in spirit and purpose, without division, pride, and misunderstanding. Help us to listen well, speak the truth, disagree well, and love and support one another. Lord, we lift up to you the thoughts CLT brought to us at the church members' meeting about employing a team leader for our 0 to 25-year-olds, someone who can help grow disciples, build and maintain our volunteer teams, and develop the links we have in schools and community. We pray, Lord, that you will equip CLT and the wider church with the wisdom, skills, and gifts needed as they seek your will and explore the way to proceed. We pray that your Holy Spirit, even now, will be preparing a way for the person who might come to us. Thank you, Lord, that in accordance to your will, you will provide all we need in this matter. As we continue with our mission to love and encourage one another, we bring our prayers for the programme of discipleship courses the church leadership also brought to us. Thank you for all they have done to bring this to us, and we ask that you will continue to guide them and equip them as they look to you for the next steps. We ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly to each of us and show us the path you have, whether to attend the courses, help lead the courses, or host them. As we seek your way and spend time with you, fill our hearts with the fruit of your Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, so we might be your good and faithful servants. Finally, Lord, we remember our dear brother David, and although there is sadness in his passing, we rejoice that his physical discomfort and weakness is over and that he's with you. We praise you for all he was as your follower and for the dedication and tireless love he showed in his work to help the poor. We lift Veronica, Sarah, and Katie and the wider family up to you, asking that you will be their comfort and strength over the coming days. Amen. Let us join together as we pray the Lord's Prayer. The words will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And so, as Joel said, we're going to continue our worship by singing, Lord, I come before your throne of grace, which reminds us, what a faithful God have I. Feel free to stay seated, feel free to stand, however you feel comfortable this morning.
Just two more to go. Jesus tells a strange parable, and at the end he says this: whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And it's an odd little parable, I think, but it's talking about the fact that in the same way God is faithful to us and true and steadfast and trustworthy, he expects us as his people to be faithful, for us to be true and steadfast and trustworthy, just as one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. It's not merely about us having faith in a faithful God, though that's surely part of it. Rather, it is as the Spirit shapes us to be more like Christ, as this fruit grows within us, as we become the people that God is calling us to be, we also become people who are worthy of trust. We are called to be people who can be relied upon. And so in Nehemiah 7, when Nehemiah is called to go back to Persia to report to the king, he had to appoint others to be in charge whilst he's gone. And he needs reliable men. And so it says he looks for men who are faithful and God-fearing. God-fearing and faithful, those who trust in God. And I think it works a little like this. If I'm standing here, right, and you come and lean on me, I might be okay for a bit, but my balance is pretty bad. And despite my best efforts, I am not yet as ripped and toned as I would like to be. And so eventually, if you come and lean on me, I will fall over. And you then will fall over too. But if I myself am leaning back on a big old solid rock, and you come and lean on me, I might get a bit squished. But neither of us is going to fall because of the rock, right? So if we as God's people have our foundations on a faithful God, if we are trusting in a steadfast rock, if our lives are built around his promises, if our behavior is shaped around his commands, his will, we can become the faithful, steadfast, supportive, true people that God is calling us to be as well. We are much less likely to fall down under pressure if our foundation is solid. The key for us to being faithful, trustworthy people is to trust in a faithful God. God is calling us to be faithful people. The people of God are not deceitful or flaky or untrustworthy or untrue. And when we live lives close to him, the God who never breaks a promise forms the capacity in us to be loyal and dependable and unwavering. And faithfulness, for you and I at least, it is not about perfection, it is about consistency. It is about turning up every day and bearing fruit. It is about carrying on being loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and good and gentle and self-controlled day in, day out, in the same way that Daniel came and prayed day in, day out. As we lean on God and his faithfulness, we are called to be faithful to others. And the final reading and the final part is from Hebrews 10. It includes one of my favourite verses in Scripture. It says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I don't know why you come here on a Sunday morning, but being part of a church is about far more than turning up here to worship occasionally. Once you choose to follow Jesus, you are adopted into his family, and a huge part of the privilege, one of the major perks of being part of the family of God, is that we are here to support and to care for one another, to listen to each other, to laugh and to cry together, to worship together, to study God's word together. We are part of a family that seeks to make sure that those in need are provided for, that those who are sad and sick are comforted, and that every single member of the family is known and loved. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's why I do what I do. It's why I love the church. But it only works because of faithful followers of Jesus. It only works properly because of those people who are part of our church that we can rely on to be here and to listen and to care. It only works when we know that there are members of this family who will keep on loving us, even when we do things and when we think things that are not very lovable. It only works because of the faithful people of a faithful God are our brothers and sisters in Christ in this place. So firstly, give thanks today that there are faithful followers of Jesus who are part of your family. Give thanks for those who have been steadfast and supportive for you. It is not a gift that we should take for granted. It is not something that everyone in this world has. And maybe think a little about what part you play in that, about how you can be a steadfast and supportive member of a church family. It probably won't work if you only turn up to worship with other people once in a blue moon. It means more consistency than that. I wonder how you can be faithful, reliable, how you can spur your sisters and brothers on in their walk with Jesus. I wonder how you can be more dependable. I think I know how it starts. It starts by leaning into Jesus, who never fails, who never lets us down, even when other people do. It starts by basing our identity on who he is and who he has made us to be. And maybe from there, you can begin to build other relationships based on faithfulness and trust. Relationships that will help not just you, but those around you to flourish. And to love and to do good. Let me pray. Father God, we praise and thank you that you are faithful even when we are faithless. That any ability that we have to be reliable and trustworthy to one another is based upon you and what you have done for us. And I pray, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would continue to shape us into the likeness of Jesus. Help us to be faithful people, to be trustworthy and true, even when others are not. Help us to be faithful and trustful and true to one another, that we might build each other up and spur each other on. That together we might form a community that reflects your kingdom. And that this community that reflects your kingdom might shine, Lord, in a world that is sometimes so dark, that others might come to know you too. Our faithful and loving God. Amen.